Coming up on All About Android, we're going to talk all about Samsung's upcoming foldable phone event. You might already know the details. We don't yet. Also, the Royal Flex Pi, a foldable phone that exists right now. A review of the Red Hydrogen 1. Tons of your feedback. Almost the entire episode, actually, is filled with your questions and a whole lot more coming up next on All About Android.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently. Go to grammarly.com/android to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. And by LastPass, secure every password-protected entry point to your business. Join over 43,000 businesses and start managing and securing your company's passwords today. Learn more at lastpass.com/twit. And by ExpressVPN, protect your online activity today for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Just go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 394, recorded on Tuesday, November 6th, 2018, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell. I didn't hear you, Ron. Say it again. No, I think you're good.
And I'm Ron Richards when I'm not muted.
There we go.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah, here we are. We are assembled, and it's just the three of us today. We thought, you know, sometimes it's just cool to have a show with just us.
But we don't turn into a giant robot that fights alien monsters.
Except well, that's because there's only three of us.
We are bonded.
We need at least two more people.
Well,
it's true.
I mean, one could be the head, one could be the torso, one could be the legs. The legs really get
In a true Voltron, you need arms and legs and head.
Yeah, that's true. This soda that shouldn't be on the table could be one of those, I guess. Go ahead and move it down there.
It's metal.
How you guys feeling today?
Tired. This daylight savings is just like bumming me out.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not affected by it because this weekend on Sunday I was in Orlando where on Sunday morning, an hour after the times changed, I woke up to go run a half marathon through Disney World. And
I saw that.
I never got the daylight savings adjust. Like I went to bed at 9 and woke up at 2:30 or whatever, 3 or whatever in the morning because the race started at 5:30. So like I just went right into daylight savings. And honestly, I feel like that's the way to do it, Flo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, just jump right in.
Plan something at 3 a.m. on the Sunday of daylight savings time and you get adjusted real quickly.
The best way that everyone could do this is to plan a half marathon through Disney World is what Ron's saying.
That's the way
everybody should do it.
Clearly.
Although running a marathon through Disney World kind of sounds like torture. Don't you want to like stop and do the rides, but you can't?
Well, they're closed. I mean, it's before the port opens. Yeah.
Right,
and you're literally only in the park for a half mile at best. It's like, it's just like, oh, there it is. Bye. Back to running on parkways.
I'll see you later, I hope.
But it was a lot of fun, even though it's hard to stand up.
Yeah.
My legs hurt. But yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's a good
accomplishment.
Thank
you. Yeah.
All right. Well, we don't have any real news segment today, but I do know that we are joined today. Victor is sick, by the way. So we are joined by none other than the Mac and Josh. Welcome, Mac and Josh.
Thank you.
Or would you like me to call you The?
That'd be good.
The.
For sure.
That's your first name, and your last name is McIntosh?
That's perfect.
Okay, cool. I know that you actually do plan like throughout the day for things like the news bumper. So I don't want to deprive you of this opportunity. If you would like to play the news bumper, go ahead, Josh.
Okay. All
right. It is yours to be played.
All right.
I know what I'm voting for today. Well, iPhone. But I still want to hear what's in Android news.
That's two X's on that one. Not only mentioning the election and the iPhone. Mac and Josh is really starting the show off on a tear. There you go.
Yeah, he was just like, that was so effortless.
I told you though, it would be controversial.
Yeah, you did mention that it would be controversial.
Although I didn't get on my daylight savings soapbox though.
That's okay. We did that for you. and then Do you have the hardware bumper? Because that's what segment we're really going into. The news is, it's time for hardware.
That's fair.
Yeah, sure. So you're,
I mean, that's been the theme of this season, right? It's just been like a hardware extravaganza everywhere.
I know. And speaking of, just real quick before I dive into what I was about to dive into, I literally just unboxed the Huawei. Is this the P20? Suddenly, see, oh. I literally pulled it right out of the box and brought it in here. So
look at those cameras.
Anyways,
four of them on the back.
I know.
Or excuse me, three cameras and a flash.
Yeah, it really is a nice feeling device, though. It feels really nice. So I'm going to play around with this for a little while. I know someday I'll get back to you, Pixel 3 XL. Someday.
I gotta say, just not to go away from the four cameras there, but over the weekend before heading to Florida, I talked to my sister into upgrading to the Pixel 3, and she proceeded to take the most amazing photos in Disney World this weekend on her new Pixel 3, and I got to play with it. Very impressed with the Pixel 3.
Oh yay!
Nice.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm so happy your sister's on that train.
Well, she was on the HTC, I want to say 10. I had her. That was the last phone I got her a couple of years ago. Mm. I feel like you're going to, if you're watching All About Android for all however many years we've been doing this, it's a tale of my sister's phones.
Yes.
Because I've got her on Android from the get-go, and she stayed loyal, and now she's went from the H. She was on HTC for years, and then now she's on Pixel 3. So there you go. Happy.
That's a good job.
Happy conversion.
It is a good job.
It's good stuff. So,
yeah.
All right, go back to your four cameras.
I should just correct. This is actually, and thank you, Bleak, for catching this, because as soon as the words left my mouth, I was like, wait a minute, I don't think that's the phone. It's the Mate 20 Pro. So that's there what we've got right here. And when I say I literally unboxed this right before the show, I did. So that is at least part of my excuse.
Is that why you ran to your car before we started?
That's something else.
Hang on. I got to go unbox this phone.
Wait a minute. I heard. No, but that wouldn't be unlike me to do that. Last week, at the very last minute, right before the show, I unboxed a phone that I had just received. And that would be this one. And you may remember this from last week, the Red Hydrogen 1, this beast of a phone. And when I say beast of a phone, I really do mean it. This thing just feels so large. I mean, next to the Pixel 2 XL, it's hardly a shadow, the Pixel 2, 3 XL.
No, hardly. It overtakes it. It's a blanket.
Yeah, totally. This thing is gigantic. And I mean, it's such a heavy. Yes, it's heavy. It's got really unique design stylings, as you can see, Kevlar and aluminum. The whole thing is just a really unique device. So I'm going to go ahead and kind
of
walk you through this.
It's made of Kevlar.
Yeah, Kevlar. Well, Kevlar, I'm back. You got some Kevlar and you got some aluminum around the sides. It just feels tight. Like it feels like you don't even need a case. You could just drop this thing and it's always going to
work.
Like
a Hummer.
Yes. Actually, that's really a great comparison. This is probably the Hummer brand of smartphones right here, because it's got a lot of like tough, durable kind of stylings to it.
It's extreme.
It's extreme, exactly. And it's good. This is only going to appeal to a certain group of people. And I think the challenge for Red here is that the people who they want it to appeal to are camera enthusiasts. And the kind of sad part is that though the camera does some really interesting thing with something they call 4V or holographic 4V, 4View, which is basically the stereoscopic camera capabilities on the front and back. So that's unique. But as a general purpose camera, it's kind of like, okay, it's all right. There's nothing special about it. And then you tack on the fact that it's almost $1,300 for this phone. And it's just a really interesting confluence of features and things that they're offering here that I don't know if it necessarily adds up yet. The question mark is whether it's going to add up once they start releasing modular components for this, which I'll talk about in a second. You can buy this online or at Verizon and AT&T stores right now.
My question when we were talking about it, who had this phone already? Mr. Mobile had it, right? Did Michael have this phone? Michael Fisher, when he was on
a couple of months ago, man. Yeah.
So, like, is there any benefit if I'm a filmmaker that uses a Red camera to use this phone, or is it literally just a brand play that, like, you like our film cameras, use the phone?
I think that is the open question.
Because the modules is what we'll answer at, right?
Right. So you can see there's the pogo pins on the back, and basically what Red has said at this point is that they
that's
are
a new
gonna,
that's a new Huawei watch right there.
I know. I walked right into that. is that starting in 2019 sometime, they don't have a specific date, but there will be modules released for this, including, from what I understand, a cinema class capable camera with a mount that would mount onto here. So the idea being that if you had that and you had this phone, you'd have a relatively moderately priced Red camera, you know, and I mean, Red cameras are not inexpensive. The whole camera line is very expensive. So if this was like your entry level point, you get the phone, you get the modular camera for it, and it's good enough, then this might be a really great entry point for beginning Red photographers or someone who wants the Red capability in their pocket in more of a mobile sense. So the long-term play is potentially very promising. Right now, though, is when the phone is available. And what do you get right now for $1,300? You get a Snapdragon 835, which is last year's top-of-the-line processor, not this year's, because this thing has been in the works for quite a while. You get 6 gigs of RAM, which is just fine, 128 or 256 gig storage options inside. You do get the 5.7 holographic 4-view capable display. Most of the time, it's showing 2D at 2560 by 1440. But if you're looking at capable or compatible content, which I can pull up and we'll do, you know, it's basically impossible to show this off on here. But if I pull up, let's see here. Oh, this was done with the – so you can kind of see. If I switch it around, you see how things kind of shift? It's very similar to the lenticular display that that you've seen a million times. Like, I think I mentioned it last week on like Lunchboxes is one example. I compared it side by side with a Nintendo 3DS, and the effect is very similar. So if you've seen 3D on a 3DS, the effect is very similar. The difference is the 3DS also has some capability of shifting perspective. It's able to shift perspective based on where it tracks your head in space. This does not have that. So when you rotate side to side, yeah, you get a 3D view, but it kind of snaps into place as you see it kind of snaps left or right. And that's about all you get. It gives some people headaches. Other people are like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. I don't know if it's cool enough to base your entire technology around, but I think that's part of what Red is hoping for. Two 12 megapixel cameras on the back, on the rear facing side, of course, for stereoscopic shooting. So there you are. You can only shoot in stereoscopic mode if you're in landscape. If you're in portrait, it forces 2D mode. And then on the front facing camera, only portrait shoots in stereoscopic. If you're doing landscape, it forces 2D mode. But it's capable of doing 3D on both sides, so that's pretty cool. It also has a really big battery, a 4,500 milliamp hour battery in here. And battery life was no problem with this sucker. You're really not even tapping into that. USB-C, also a headphone jack or courage port, as Matteo Doni would like to call it. And then it has this easy access SIM card tray as well as a micro SD card slot, so you can just pull it out without a tool. That's really nice. And it is running Android 8.1 Oreo when you're not looking at me and Leo in the office there. I think when you look at the phone, it's only going to appeal to a certain amount of people. So that's going to, you know, dwindle down the market that this is for automatically. Like, I'm sure there are a number of people that would see this and immediately say, that is not the kind of styling that I want in my phone. The phone probably isn't designed for them. You know, it's large, it's heavy, it's got bezels galore, which is not a very modern kind of, you know, design aesthetic that we see very much of these days. And again, you got the pogo pins on the back that carry the promise of the future. Pretty clean version of Android, although there is some cruft in there. You know, there's actually a Facebook app that's on here that you cannot remove, which is kind of a bummer.
For many reasons.
Yeah. You know, I moved it out of the, it occupied its own screen, just the Facebook app on its own screen and the home screen. And so I removed that. That's the best as I could do. And then you have a number of, you know, Red's own apps. This is 3D if you were here in person, that are basically just like, here's a bunch of content that's going to work with 4V, but I don't know how much you're really going to get out of that. Like, I was able to find a couple of games, Asphalt 8, which is a great game. There's a 4V version of it here in this app store, and I played it, and you know, it's neat. It's nice. Like, I've played the game a million times in 2D, and so to get some of those elements in 3D, or as they would say, 4V, it's nice, but it's just not going to sell devices in and of itself, you know? So there's a number of Red's own software on here. Hydrogen Network has some longer form 4V videos that you can kind of use to, you know, to watch kind of the scenery and wildlife and stuff and go, ooh, wow, that's in 3D. That looks really cool. And I will say that in kind of playing around with the phone, I noticed some kind of choppy transitions, you know, some frame dropping in a $1,300 phone. I feel like that's kind of inexcusable. But those things appeared, you know, time after time, not every single time I would transition around, but especially like scrolling. If I was on a page and I was scrolling, it would be really kind of choppy at times. And yeah, that's just kind of disappointing when you're spending that much money on a phone. The display itself. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go for it.
I was gonna say. Yeah, I totally agreed. But where did they put the money in what you spent?
Yeah.
Did they put it? You know, like it's all about. We talked last week about you make decisions about what you can put into these phones and what they don't. What justifies that cost if that's happening? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This whole phone is an enigma to me.
It is. It's totally an enigma. There's a decent amount of phones that are coming out this year that we've talked about on this show that are doing things different. So you have to give them props. Like, right, we're always talking about like, yeah, man, innovate, do something different.
Yeah.
These companies are doing something different. But I feel like they're doing things different, but are they doing things that are going to, you know, really move the needle or start a new trend or you know, maybe it stands out, but does it stand out in a good way? I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen with this phone, whether it's in a good way or not. But I think it's kind of starting behind the others just in a number of different ways. And it's really hard to catch up from there, especially considering the price tag. So you can show some of the photos if you don't mind, Josh. I put a link to some of the photos from the camera. I mean, you don't see these in 3D, but if you were on my phone, you would, and they look, you know, interesting in and of themselves. The cool thing is this one actually looks really cool in 3D with the fence up close. The cool thing is when you shoot in 3D, you're also shooting, it also saves a 2D version of it. And I mean, the 2D, my girl was sick today, so this is a picture of her putting Lego together. The 2D shots are fine. You know, they're not amazing, and Red is a camera company. So again, if you're spending that money, I think you kind of hope that the pictures are going to be, you know, really, really awesome, and they're fine. Like, this was in our meeting room, and that's really not that impressive. So I don't know. I feel like some of the things that this should have gotten right, it didn't, and that's going to hold it back. So if the camera module comes out and it becomes the differentiator, maybe I would change my recommendation. You know what I mean? If that comes out and this becomes an affordable entry point for Red quality cameras, that's one thing, and that's totally valuable in and of itself. But as it is right now, it's really hard to recommend the Red Hydrogen 1 phone for the cost, for what you're spending, what you're getting. The 3D effect really kind of burns off pretty quick after, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool the first couple of times, but how often are you really spending time within there? Almost the entire UI and everything inside the phone is 2D anyways. So, and it cuts the resolution. When you move to 4V, the sharp resolution of the 2D display, I don't know if it's cut exactly in half, but it's definitely limited, and you see a shift right before your eyes, and suddenly things get blurrier. It's in 3D, but it's a little blurrier. I don't know. It's hard to recommend as it is right now, so... That's the Red Hydrogen 1.
$1,300
starting. You know, there are. I will say it has a dedicated camera shutter button. That's kind of nice. I like it when phones have that. That makes taking pictures a little bit easier. But
$1,300.
Yeah, That red button is $1,300.
That's where they put the money.
And you do get a medallion. You get a red medallion in the box.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Does it glow like Iron Man's?
No. It's like a coin, but with a red center. I should have brought it in here. My apologies. But.
So I'm getting a don't buy vibe from you.
I couldn't possibly recommend to someone, hey, you should buy this $1,300 phone.
Here's my question to the All About Android listening audience in the community. Are you a yes, I'm going to buy this phone person? And if so, write in and tell us why.
Yeah.
Right. And then furthermore, send a photo of you with the phone to prove that you actually are that person.
Yes.
Because I don't think this person exists.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe creators. Maybe there's a certain level of creator that's like, I want the ability to shoot easy 3D, you know, photos and videos. And if so, there aren't many games in town, and you could do a whole lot worse than going with a brand like Red. They're very well known in cameras. Yes, this does that, and it has an integrated viewer for that content. So maybe if you're a creator, this is a good way to go.
But yeah, I'm very curious.
Outside of that, I don't know.
I'm asking my friends who are filmmakers who use Red cameras if they are going to get this phone. I think the answer is going to be no.
Yeah. Probably crazy. Not. Yeah. So anyways, that's the Red Hydrogen 1. Let us know if you have one. AAA@twit.tv. We'd love to hear from you.
Please do. But you need to save your money because Samsung's got a new phone that they're going to announce tomorrow. And Flo, you're going to go check this out, right?
Supposedly. I don't have, right. Like, I'm showing up to the keynote tomorrow and I'm just expecting to be surprised.
Well, what you're going to be surprised by is going to be the upcoming foldable phone.
No way.
And I can't tell you how jealous I am, Flo, that you might be there and I'm not, because this is my moment for Samsung. But an unnamed Samsung official told Reuters that this announcement will be about sharing with their developers their progress on the concept of the foldable phone and will include detailed images of the foldable phone. And tomorrow, Wednesday, November 7th, is going to be officially Foldable Phone Day. It's going to be like the day that Steve Jobs pulled the iPhone out of his pocket that first time. It's going to be like the day that we got the Nexus 1 with the little rollerball, or the Nexus 5, the most perfect phone in Android history. It's going to change everything. The foldable phone is coming. Get on board now.
Wow, you are really pro foldable phone.
It's just so stupid. I love it.
Now, who knows?
We don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
Who knows? Five years, like, this could be the Note of now, right?
Yeah.
Like, when the Note first came out, we were part of it, too. We were making fun of it. Oh, man, who would ever want such a large phone?
Maybe everyone.
The Note has been really successful. The foldable phone idea is not a bad idea. It's just anything that I've seen so far doesn't look very good. But maybe 5 years from now, it's going to be amazing.
I agree. I mean, it's going to be the phone that we roll up and we put in our pocket. It's going to be such a different form factor. Enough with the chocolate bar phone. Let's fold it up and move on and have screens on every surface.
Yes, the corner, the edges.
It'd be amazing.
All around, everywhere.
I'm all ready. Listen, you fold your laundry, now fold your phone.
There you go. See? You should work
Samsung. Samsung's not the only people in the foldable phone game, right? Right, Flo? There are others playing this game.
It's true. So meanwhile, in the midst of all this rumor mongering, which we're going to find out about in like less than, I can't even do the calculations. So meanwhile, Royale.
That's a quarter pounder with cheese.
Royale cheese. Okay, I'm sorry. Royale Technology last week unveiled they have a foldable tablet product that will be released by the end of the year, and the end of the year is merely weeks away.
Yeah, it is.
So this is called the Royale Flex Pi.
Look at this.
It's a 7.8-inch tablet that can fold into a fold form factor. It's got a 2.8-gig octa-core Snapdragon processor in there. Foldable AMOLED display at a 1920x1440 resolution when unfolded.
Okay,
it's also got a 3800 milliamp battery on the inside there. And it's got 128 gigs of storage for your things and 6 gigs of RAM as the base, which is a very OnePlus move. You can also upgrade to 256 gigs of storage and do 8 gigs of RAM if you really want like all that throttle. And the base model will run about nearly 9,000 yuan, which is about $1,300 USD, which is
the same price as the Red phone.
Yeah. So what do you want, folks? So
I was also trying to think of which iPad it would be priced against.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That's a good comparison. That's
because
good
those comparison. Those are like the tablets I think of.
Yeah.
Sorry.
While you look it back up, and Mac and Josh, if you can put that video back up, those of you listening to the show in the audio podcast format, I understand. Note this time code, and when you get back to a computer, go to the video version of this episode and watch the GIF or the video or whatever that we're showing on the screen right now of the tablet being folded and then being used. And it just looks wonderfully ridiculous. It looks like someone in the chat room was saying this is like the Costanza wallet. And this is truly what it looks like. It looks like an oversized wallet. Like I love it so much. And if anyone wants to make me happy this holiday, buy me this tablet, please.
Oh, who wouldn't want this tablet? Just for history.
Why do you need to fold this?
Yeah. Oh,
I want to know how that display goes back to being flat after being folded. That just looks.
I believe it does. If you can scroll down, Mac and Josh, on the thing, it shows the photos. It looks like the hinge on a Surface.
Yeah.
Right, like that rubbery kind of thing. Like so, I do believe it folds back flat. I think they've cracked the ability to make it foldable. What they're not accounting for is the inch and a half space between both sides when it is folded.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you could launch a spaceship through that gap there.
Called the fold gap.
Yeah, the fold gap. Yeah. And does the screen pucker at all? This is an open question because I feel like we've seen this foldable idea before months ago. And then when it was flattened and the display was not lit up, we noticed that the display itself kind of had like a wavy puckery quality.
Verb I was considering thinking of with regard to these foldable phones, but I guess that is a good thing to take into consideration. Will it pucker up?
Yeah, does it pucker? Will it pucker?
Will it pucker?
Oh my God.
What a horrible name. What a horrible word.
It's not when you talk about kissing, but when you talk about tablets, it's a little different.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Flo.
What?
That's true. It's true. Yeah.
That's how I usually use it in that context. It's just, pucker
flow,
up.
Flow.
But it's true. This is a consideration. Hopefully Samsung has cracked the pucker problem. Yeah. Hopefully so. We only have to wait until tomorrow to see if Samsung has done that.
It's true. The keynote is at 10 a.m. I'm going to be there tweeting and snapping photos. So just follow me on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
I'll probably write something up about it at my website.
Okay. Yes, definitely follow Oh That Flow on Twitter to see. Hopefully they have this in person and you can see it. That would be great. That would be my best case scenario.
My fear is that, so they actually said the show floor will be open on Thursday, but I have to get my teeth cleaned. So tomorrow or nothing.
Well, we won't have to wait long to find out. And if you see it, take pictures.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor. And then we've got not one, but two full feedback segments. We figured, we haven't had a feedback episode in a while. So we're going to answer and read a bunch of your feedback, your email, your questions, your comments, all that stuff coming up in a moment. But first, let's thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and that is Grammarly. I'm a big fan of Grammarly because it helps me sound like it corrects my spelling and my grammar issues. So it makes me sound a little bit smarter than sometimes I may come across when I'm using my fat fingers to type things out. Sometimes I don't do the very best job and Grammarly corrects it and makes me sound a lot better. Grammarly is the communication tool and app that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. It helps people show their best self through writing and is available across platforms, including there's an online browser extension. They've got a desktop editor, mobile keyboard checker. You can install this on your phone. You have it working on your Chromebook. I mean, it works all across the board. Grammarly's free product reviews, critical spelling. It reviews grammar, obviously. Grammarly Premium looks out for spelling, grammar, plus advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary suggestions, how concise you're being, and also readability for different occasions. So, for example, business proposal or maybe an academic essay. a casual blog post, all of these things taken into consideration, kind of writing for the platform and a whole lot more. You can improve your writing for all types of occasions with Grammarly. For example, you could use Grammarly to double check that your resume is in perfect shape before submitting it to the open positions that you're applying for. You want to know that it's just right. If you have used items that you might actually sell online, maybe they sell for more if your post doesn't have a bunch of typos in it. I don't know. People, you know, judge by that. Schoolwork will go from good to amazing. Honestly, everything benefits from proper spelling and proper grammar. And that's why Grammarly is so powerful. You install it. It works across the board. It works. It's just there correcting for you no matter what app you're using. And it places those corrections in a very easy, intuitive way for you to then snap it up, accept the correction, and it just inserts it right in place. It's really nice. Go to grammarly.com/android and you'll get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That is grammarly.com/android for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. And we thank Grammarly for their support of All About Android. All right, feedback time. We got a lot of emails. We did get this email. This is a very interesting email on the topic. We spoke last week at the top of the show about Andy Rubin's departure from Google and kind of the sexual harassment charges around that and a whole lot more. We got an email from someone who asked to be anonymous, but he says, I've been practicing employment law representing management for more than 10 years. I've never represented Google or any of its affiliates. I have extensive experience litigating sexual harassment claims. Sexual harassment is absolutely a real problem. It is unacceptable. That being said, and he by the way, he wrote a longer email, so I had to kind of cut it down to keep it show length. So my apologies. I hope I got the right things in there. He says, I strongly suspect that the exit package was something Rubin was entitled to under his employment contract, or it was a buyout for equity or other deferred compensation that Rubin had already earned. Rubin almost certainly had an employment agreement with Google, which almost certainly guaranteed him either certain compensation or continued employment for a certain time period. And that agreement almost certainly identified certain cause for termination of his employment or forfeiture of as yet unearned compensation. It's possible that Rubin's cause definition was not broad enough to cover the circumstances leading to his departure, meaning he was contractually entitled to the exit package he received, and Google would have been sued if it had not paid. It's important to remember that Google, like any other employer, is legally bound to follow the terms of its contracts with employees. And that's so, and he had a whole lot more in there, but so speaking directly to him, I hope I did you justice by kind of editing it down. And I would say, personally, I would say contractually speaking, that is absolutely probably the case with Rubin as far as that's concerned. But, you know, we've done a lot of talking about this, and I think the big overarching point that we have gotten to with each other is that this is a much bigger issue, a much bigger thing than just Andy Rubin. He was still allowed, he was still protected in doing what he did within Google, and that makes it a much bigger issue, especially because this is not uncommon in other companies, right? Who wants to take this? Who wants to add to that?
I think that is very well said, and I just thought it was a very long week just watching this unfold, and I wouldn't be surprised if this was the start of a bigger movement just the way that things have been going. I know that today is an election day in the U.S., so right. Today in particular, things are very they're very loud and warm. This is very on topic for this particular atmosphere, but it is on topic for a reason, and that's because it kind of matches everything else that's been going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it just shows that it's pervasive through multiple organizations, and Google is in. You know, we put Google. I know personally, sometimes, you know, my personal allegiance to Google kind of puts them on a pedestal, and it's all, you know, like great things come out of it, and it's wonderful. But it just shows that a lot of the ills of the world are happening everywhere. And what my biggest thing, and I think this anonymous email about employment law and exit packages and stuff like that is fine. The optics on this are just horrible. There's no way that Google doesn't seem just bananas to be paying this dude $90 million after, you know, a harassment claim at work was proved to be credible. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, mm-hmm. you know,
I and I'm not an employment lawyer. I know nothing of the stuff. All those disclaimers and all that sort of stuff. But I got to imagine if he does have an employment agreement, it involves not doing stuff like that, right? And you'd think that would void out that sort. It should. You would hope that it would.
Yeah.
What I find most interesting coming out of all this is there's the Andy Rubin thing, which happened under the leadership of Sergey Brin, who was CEO at the time, mm-hmm. right? Or was it Larry Page? I don't know. One of the founders versus the past 2 years with the 48 senior managers and higher who were not given exit packages under Sundar Pichai, mm-hmm. right? So what that shows to me is that what I take away from that is that it looks as if the Sundar Pichai leadership of Google is playing by a different set of rules than Sergey and Larry were, right? Which I'm hopeful for. It seems
let's
as if
certainly
they're,
hope so.
Yeah, hopefully. But it seems as if they're taking these, you know, these claims and these reports seriously, and 48 people are not being coddled, and the 48 people are not being given huge sums of money to be quiet about it, or anything, that there were real consequences to it. And that's all you really want out of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, more so, I want to live in a world where it doesn't happen. I want to live in a world where people aren't, you know, in fear of retaliation or in fear of their jobs or anything like that. I want everyone to respect each other with the respect that they would ask other people to give them. But that's a very lofty goal. But I hope someday we'll get there. But at least when the bad stuff happens, it looks as if they're trending in the right direction of dealing with it appropriately. Knock on wood, you got to hope. But and Flo, you're absolutely right. Last week was rough. As a Google fan, it was a tough pill to swallow. I said it last week. It's a tough pill to swallow to see, like, this is what the birth of Android is forever going to be marred by this, and by Andy Rubin and all this sort of stuff. And then, being hopeful for the future of Google and future employees, because I think great things have come from this company, and I want to continue to see those great things and it be a safe work environment for people to do great things.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So there we have it. We should also point out there was a walkout. I mean, you guys probably already heard about that last week. 20,000 participants, successful walkout to raise awareness for this. So,
yeah. And a lot of my friends who work at Google walked out, men and women. Like, I was glad to see that. It was, you know, it was it,
around
you know,
the world.
Sends, yeah, sends a great message. Sends a strong message, I think, which is good. So,
yeah,
it just sucks.
All right. But very good, great perspective, and important to point out, because I do think, and the person who sent this in did mention, like, it was his perspective that kind of got lost along the way, is that, you know, it's possible that Google just didn't have a choice. Like, contractually, it was obligated to do this, and that's a good point to consider. But there's a whole lot of other things going on at work there too. So
also a reminder that the contract is a very powerful document.
Yeah. Yes, to say the least.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to other things, Ron.
All right. So Brian wrote in and said, I've noticed a trend in the recent Google apps that have been removed or not included the widget. Interesting. The new Google Fit redesign removed the widget, and newer apps like Google Podcasts, Google Tasks, and YouTube Music don't even have widgets. I've been all over active forums. There's no explanation for this. I was wondering if AAA could do a little digging to see what's going on here. To me, widgets are extremely useful and what sets Android apart from the rest. And this is actually related to our second email, which Flo is going to read.
Right. So this one comes from Mark. I'm hoping you can use the podcast to once again raise awareness, about more bad decisions by Google as they continue to remove useful features from apps. This time they have removed the home screen widget from the Android Messages apps. Widgets like this one, which show the list of active and non-archived message threads in my messages lists, are one of the main reasons we use Android in the first place, a key differentiator between Android and iOS. This happened over 2 months ago, and the widget is still gone. I've had to downgrade to an older version of Android Messages from apkmirror.com just to keep using the widget, sad emoji face. I totally agree, Mark. I think it's just, I, first of all, really miss the Fit widget. It's made, there's a lot of things about Fit that I'm not 100% on board about, but
the Fit app almost feels like, I've been using it a lot with the running and all stuff like that, it almost feels like a step backwards.
I can't on the elliptical, I want to put in how many miles I did, because I do the elliptical to keep me between hiking.
I can put the elliptical in. Why can't you put the elliptical in?
No, I could put the elliptical, but I can't put how many miles I did on the elliptical.
Why not?
Of hill climbing. It won't let me edit that for some reason because I didn't do physical hiking, like physical distance miles. It's very frustrating.
You can add activity, choose elliptical, and then edit miles.
Well, it's because I track it while I'm doing it. Anyway.
Oh, I'm just, I add it manually. Like I'm not doing it automatically. But anyway, I feel like the Google Fit app like looks awesome and looks great, but I just feel like it does less now. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Yes, but no,
that could be a greater discussion right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It can. But it is a good point just about the fact that we think of widgets as sort of this archaic holdover of like the Android beginning days. But when you really think about widgets, you think about the users who stayed true to this platform. That would be us. Mm. We love widgets. I have a page always devoted to the most oft-used widgets that I need. And usually it's the calendar app and Google Keep. And if I didn't have those widgets, I'd be really annoyed because I like to have that at-a-glance look. And it still fits into that whole, like, that Android Google motif of having, like, informational cards. I mean, we get those informational cards when we have a product like a smart display. We just get them in a slightly different mode. And so I really wish that widgets would continue to have that classification as just, it's like, a card, but it's on the home screen, and so it should be given just as much importance, I think, as any other display.
I used to use widgets all the time. I never use them now. Like I just never.
Well, that's you.
Well, no. I'm just saying, speaking from my own perspective. Like I used to use them all the time, and I had like three different screens, and you know, and honestly, like it's probably you know maybe my use case is different because I'm using so many phones that in order for me to every phone set up those widgets and you know set it all up like true. that would be a slog in order to do that time and time again. So I think at some point I probably just like let go of it and like it's just too much for me to keep track of. So whatever, keep it simple. But I don't know. Do you still use widgets with any regularity, Ron?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I have my one widget that I live and die by, which is power tools toggle or whatever, which is just the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and all that sort of stuff. Which is, so I use that and I use the Pocket Cast widget and I use – but here's the thing is that I found widgets, at least the widgets that I use, like so the MLB app at bat to give me like scores and things like that, it wouldn't update. And so, like, I don't know if they stopped, if they changed something, or like, I feel like it's so archaic that developers are just not keeping it updated. And so, therefore, once the widget becomes useless, I remove it.
Yeah.
And then you never go back to it. I definitely don't. Like, the other day, I was scrolling through the widgets just to see what was there.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, look at that. That's kind of neat. Like, I kind of forgot that they kind of exist, despite the ones that I do use. So,
totally.
Yeah.
Wow. I choose apps sometimes just based on the widgets they include. I'm still a user of HD Widgets, which is like an OG app from back in the day.
Yeah, it is. That's old school.
I love to have customized tiles. I want to know when the sun is going down at a glance. Like, I don't want to have to ping Google every time to ask a question. I want to just have that information available. Not only that, but like it just fits into the ethos of being an Android user, which is just choice and customization and I really miss the Fit widget. I really do. I just wanted to see that circle close. And I understand that we brought that widget over to Wear OS, and that's where it exists now. But we don't all have watches.
True. Yeah, it's true. We don't. So then, both Brian and Mark have pointed out that Google seems to be on a tear of removing widgets. Why do you think Google is actively doing that? Do you think that they're seeing that usage of widgets has dwindled and therefore it's just not worth their time to update them? Or is that just Google being Google because they like to take things that are totally useful and destroy them? Or what do you guys think?
I think it has to do with design a little bit. I think it has to do something with material theming, the sort of like the way these interfaces should look. Mm. I don't know. I don't know if the widget fits into that future. I feel like this is something we should really look into. Like, I want to know if Google stands on the widget.
Yeah, I would love to talk to someone at Google, you know, maybe somebody, you know, that works in design, like an old former friend of the show who we know can't talk to us anymore.
William.
But, Liam.
Liam.
But, I would love to know what the position in the world of design, not just Google, but just, you know, app design about the widget. Because I don't know what it is, and it sure seems like it's going away.
Yeah, it really does.
Oh my gosh, is this going to be like, we're going to have Google Plus going away. Yeah. We're going to have Inbox going away. Like, what if at Google I.O. they go, we're doing away with widgets.
Remember how widgets used to work on the lock screen? Then they did away with widgets on the lock screen?
Yep.
Yeah? That could happen in your home screen.
I shouldn't have even put that out into the world. Yeah, what am I doing? Know. I put I that out there now.
We're going to get so many emails for our next feedback show. I know. I should have done that.
it's bad juju. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, don't do that. I mean, that would be a big deal. Even if not many people are using widgets, that would still be a very big deal.
People
would
throw their drinks at the stage at Google I.O. I think people would protest.
You think?
Yep.
I really do. I think there would be just a stampede of angry people. Yeah. And I would be leading them.
So I guess we'll see. We'll see what Google decides to do about the widgets that it's totally probably going to get rid of now that Flo put that out there. You know, you can blame Flo for that because
yes, go ahead.
Google wasn't considering it until Flo said it.
I would love to be the ones to break the news on the position of the widgets and the future of widgets. I love that. It would be an All About Android exclusive. That'd be lovely.
And then we'd have a reason to play the breaking news bumper, which we haven't played in a really long time.
I know. There hasn't been a whole lot of breaking news. That's been
I was about to say, there hasn't been a whole lot of news.
Patrick wrote in to say, I recently got started on Android 8.1 with the LG Stylo 4 Plus. I have a few questions. All right, so let's dive in. First, is there a way to get to clear notifications? He says, when I slide left or right on a notification, I get manage or snooze. I'm thinking that you're not sliding the whole way, because isn't it with clearing notifications? And I looked it up. I dove in to find the LG Stylo 4 Plus documentation, and it does say in there, if you swipe all the way to the right or the left, you're going to swipe the notification away. If you do partial swipe, then it's going to give you those options for like snoozing or going into settings or whatever. And then down at the bottom of your notifications, you should have clear all. You should have clear all anyways, and that'll get rid of all of them in one swoop. So if you're not swiping all the way to the edge in one action, that might be why you're not swiping away your notifications. So try that. So second, is there a method to make TalkBack temporarily stop talking? So TalkBack, if you don't know, that's the text to speech engine that runs on an OS level, and it's for, you know, it's an assisted way of using your phone so that every single item on your home screen and everywhere has an audible command to it, and it'll you know, it basically walks you through it in an audible sense. Let's see here. Patrick says, I know how to turn it all the way off, but occasionally I would like to stop the constant talking, because when you have TalkBack on, it's talking about every single thing that it sees on the screen until you double tap on something to say, this is what I want. And it can be a little annoying. And he also says,
floating action button.
Yes, exactly.
Pop-up window.
Yes, reading all the text within a window and everything. It can get really noisy. He also says, related to this, there is not a setting to turn off TalkBack hints, which is a lot of the constant and by now unnecessary talking. Is there a way to stop the hints? So every time, and I was playing with it earlier, and you do these things, and it's like walking you through it as if it's your first time to know what this thing is or that thing is. But I imagine if you use TalkBack for a day, you already know what that thing is, but there's no way to turn off the hints. Like, I went diving into the settings to try and find it, and I could not find a way to temporarily disable TalkBack. It's either on or off. I also could not find a way to disable just the tips. But I will say, if you have TalkBack in active, just a few tips that I found, if you swipe down and let's see here, you're doing the letter L, so down and to the right on the screen while TalkBack is active, that's going to pull you up a quick access to the options menu, and then you can jump right into the settings and deactivate it. So that might save you from having to go into the settings specifically. There's basically a whole bunch of customization options for like gestures that you can do with TalkBack. So you can customize it around your own use. It would be really nice if you could do a gesture that pauses it, but they don't give you that option. I tried to find that. You can, though, if TalkBack is on and it's talking at you, there's a setting in there that will detect when you put your hand over the proximity sensor, and that will mute it. And I think that's probably your key. If TalkBack is really noisy, just wave your hand over the proximity sensor, and that's going to mute the audible TalkBack for just that action. When you go into the next thing, it's still going to do it. So, but that's going to give you instant mutability within TalkBack, and maybe that helps solve your problem. That's better than nothing.
I hate to say that it sounds just like putting your hand over a mouth.
I get, well, I mean, I guess it kind of is, because it's your phone talking.
I know, that's
at
what
you,
I'm envisioning.
Like, yeah, it's true. But nice that you can. I mean, that's actually a pretty smart way of using the proximity sensor.
Yeah. So
just, you just kind of wave your hand over it, and it's like, oh, I won't say that.
At least that's built in. I mean, that's a good accessibility feature if that's built in.
Yeah, totally. It would be nice, though, to temporarily disable or peel back the tips. Like, if you're using this on a daily basis, you don't need those tips anymore. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
Some people are going to use them all the time. Some people won't need them. So it'd be nice to have more customization around that. Mm-hmm. Hope that helps, Patrick. I'm not a pro or an expert in TalkBack, but man, maybe you knew some of this stuff. But for those who didn't, there you go. The more you know.
Star the more flies. You know.
And let's drop some knowledge thanks to our sponsor. We want
Boom.
To thank LastPass for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And you might sit at work and you might ask yourself, what is your company doing to ensure passwords are being shared appropriately? I ask myself that all the time at work. LastPass Enterprise makes password sharing convenient for employees while keeping access to corporate data secure. It even allows for full customization of access, including the ability to set master password requirements, enable password resets, and restrict access when needed. That's power. Configure over 100 policies, access security reports, and create shared folders. You can organize database logins, SSH keys, software licenses, and business information. And this is amazing, you can further protect your business with multi-factor authentication. With the LastPass Authenticator app, a verification button pops up on the employee's phone to guarantee they're the only ones with access to their accounts. If the credentials are compromised, the app ensures outsiders will not have access. I got to tell you, Authenticator apps are amazing. LastPass is great. You want to get in on this. Trust me. And when you need to make passwords, LastPass has their password generator that makes it easy to use unique random passwords that employees don't have to remember or write down. Employees can log into LastPass with their Microsoft Active Directory credentials, so they truly only have one password to remember. Data is encrypted and decrypted at the device level. We talk about this all the time on the show, device-level encryption. Data stored in the vault is kept secret, even from LastPass. From easy onboarding to password autofill, LastPass makes it easy for businesses to take control of passwords and reduce the threat of breach. And the iOS 12 and Android Pie autofill functionality makes it easier for employees to seamlessly use LastPass across mobile devices. When you open up an app or visit a mobile site, the keyboard itself will offer your username or password as an autofill option, similar to what autocorrect looks like now. So no more copying and pasting from your LastPass app, which is great. That's amazing. LastPass also offers LastPass Premium for personal use, LastPass Families for your entire family, and LastPass Teams for teams of 50 or fewer. And I've said it before in the show, longtime listeners know, Jason turned me on to LastPass years ago, and it changed my life. It literally changed my life. Now, one of the first things I install on a new computer or new phone is LastPass. I access my vault. I get all my passwords. It's amazing. I got my wife on it. We're doing the family thing. LastPass has got all your password security needs. I'm one of more than 16 million people that trust LastPass. So you should find out why. It's the number one most preferred password manager. Learn more at LastPass.com/twit. That's LastPass.com/twit and see which product is right for you. Trust me, this product is right for you. LastPass.com/twit. And we thank LastPass for their support and keeping our password safe. Thanks, LastPass.
Thanks, LastPass. Appreciate it. Thanks for keeping me safe.
So we got more email. We got more feedback here.
We got a lot more. Let's do it.
Our first one is Nate from Utah, who writes it and says, this is a new messaging app that is smarter than others. If you allow it, the app can build personality profiles based on the data it gets from your SMS conversations. The app supports E2E encryption if both parties are using the app. It's super cool and an Android exclusive from what I can tell. Who knows? Maybe this app can solve the messaging hell that is messaging on Android. Check it out. And the app he's talking about is called Mei, spelled M-E-I, and it's at the website textmei.com. And astute listeners or viewers will remember that I brought this app to the arena in episode 376. Because I agree with Nate. It's pretty cool.
And I was out that episode, so I didn't catch that.
You were out that episode. But what's interesting is that since I brought that app to the arena, it was right when it came out. Since then, they've done a bunch of updates. They have now have the Ethereum-based tokens for an in-app currency. They've got the encryption on both sides. They've gotten super secure on it. Clearly, they've really committed to this. And when I did it, it was just kind of a fun little AI-based messenger that would give you your personality based off your messages and all this sort of stuff. That's what you're seeing here in the video for those watching, where it analyzes your responses and tells you if you're anxious or calm or whatever it is. But they really leaned into security and encryption with the latest updates. Really interesting. So I continue to say May is a messaging app worth checking out.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. So Jason, I think you should use it for a week.
Okay. I will then. Actually, I'm in the market for a new email app because I got to get rid of Inbox because it's going to go away. And every time I use Gmail, I'm just not at home on Gmail. I'm at home on Inbox. I'm not at home on Gmail.
Yeah,
so maybe I'll do that instead. Maybe.
Maybe.
Sorry.
Maybe. All right. Shall we go to our next one from Paolo? Paolo says, hey, AAA crew, if I remember correctly, you guys were fans of the Nexus 5. We were.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, everyone was a fan of the Nexus 5. It was a really good phone.
Great phone.
Believe it or not, my girlfriend is still using my old one to this day. Yes, I know it was woefully outdated on security patches. Well, you said it, Paolo, not us. Anyway, when I found out that not only is T-Mobile selling the OnePlus 6T, but they're also offering a $300 trade-in to take my also old Nexus 6, it was a no-brainer. So she'll be transitioning to the 6T shortly, and the Nexus 5 will finally be retired. Just thought you might appreciate this. Thanks, Paolo.
Thank you, Paolo.
So I just have to say that I really do love this method of this, like, trading in and just sort of, like being able to come in with this old phone and get, I mean, that's a pretty great trade-in credit
towards
a OnePlus. I mean, that pays for a lot of the OnePlus 6T.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting $300 trade-in, that's more than half, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. But hang on, though. Let's not ignore the fact that it means the Nexus 5 is being retired, which breaks my heart a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And to some people, they will want to hold on to that history if they have that phone for a really long time. But some people,
I love that phone.
Yeah, whatever. Move on.
I love that phone so much.
Did you keep yours, Ron? Are you going to keep yours in like a keepsake box?
I'm pretty sure I still have it. I couldn't tell you where it is. I mean, it's more than likely in a box that's in storage from the move from San Francisco that I haven't unpacked yet. But I'm pretty sure it's in there somewhere.
You know, I'm looking at the pictures on your wall in the background, Ron, and I'm thinking what you should probably do, what we should all do, considering we are hosts of All About Android, is we should take our own personal history of phones and frame each one in like a nice little glass gallery
thing.
Have a wall dedicated to our own individually framed phones. It'd be like our own little personal history of Android phones.
Except that I've sold most of them to try and buy a new one.
Well, that was
We're
your bad.
We're not all made of money here, Jason.
That was your bad. I have my my Thunderbolt in the other room. I have.
Oh, see, my first phone just died. It died a death.
Galaxy
it died
Nexus.
A very intense death. Down an escalator at CES.
Oh boy,
that's sad. I'm really mad that I had my G1, and in my last like month at Revision 3. The developer was working on the Revision 3's Android app and he needed a phone to test on. And so I brought in my G1 and then I left and I never got it back.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I quit. But before I do, could I please have my G1 back?
And I forgot about it. I got caught up in the whole quitting process.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer. You could probably find one on eBay.
I was going to say eBay.
But it's not mine.
I've been buying all of my old tech.
It's like retro tech. That's not healthy at all.
It's not at all.
Retro tech is not good for the the soul.
But I like the idea of framing them. Now, the more I think about this, like,
yeah, I like it. Like it in one of those shadow boxes or something.
Yeah,
like
a little.
Like,
yeah, yeah, but yeah. Each of them has an individual shadow box with a little engraved history below it. The Nexus 5, blah blah blah, was launched in da da da. Oh boy, that would be so nerdy, but it would be great. Norm wrote in to say a while back, Jason talked about his most liked car phone mount. I can't for the life of me remember or find that information. Help! In all caps. And that would be this. It is the Ram X mount. I love this thing. This thing is amazing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The suction cup is really solid. Like, it's big.
That's a suction cup.
Yeah, I've had mounts before. Does it pucker? Does the suction cup pucker when I do this? I've had mounts before that have the smaller suction cups that fall after 3 days or whatever. This literally never falls, maybe once every 2 months. And I just pick it up, pop it right back on. The X, which is the X factor of the of the RAM, the RAM kind of functionality or whatever, it works really well because it fits around almost any phone. You just do that, pop your phone in, and when you let go, it just tightens right around it. And it's just really great. They are a little expensive, but it's a whole modular kind of family of stuff. If I loosened this, I think I could take it off of this ball and pop it on something else. So maybe you pop it into something that would go into the the AC vent. Or maybe you have it on your desk. You can pop it into something on your desk. Anyways, it's a whole modular series of things. And I don't know. I really like it a lot. I think it's $50 for this entire thing, which is steep, but it'll fit all your phones. So it is.
Sometimes you got to pay for the good stuff. I definitely believe that.
Yeah. So the Ram X mount. Here, I'll show you.
It's a good one.
I'll show you real quick. You just pop it in. It's easier when it's actually on your window.
Physics is an amazing thing.
Yeah. So there you go.
Force and tension. It is.
There you go.
All right. So our next email is from my new favorite listener, Rob from Philly, who's now in Chicago, writes in and says, this email isn't really related to Android at all, but you guys always talk about Haman, and I saw it at Costco, and I had to pick one up. I don't know if it's a good price or not, but it was $100 for a 14-pound one.
Holy cow.
And that included a stand and a carving knife. See the attached picture.
Dang.
So now here's the issue with Rob Philly now, who's now in Chicago. What did you think of the Haman?
Yeah.
And that's quite the kit. Was it money well spent? And that, let me tell you, is a lot of Serrano ham there, my friends.
Yeah.
I love Costco. Hopefully that membership just keeps on paying itself.
Hopefully you're having a Haman party.
And please invite us, because I've never had ham on, and I would like to try it.
As much as we've talked about a ham on the show, we've never had it. Have you had it, Flo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
a
ton.
Okay,
good.
A ton. Oh.
At least one of us has.
I'm jealous.
I have not had ham on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I eat a lot of salted meats. It's about the only kind of meat I like.
I about a year or two ago, I declared I was going through a prosciutto renaissance. And I'm still right in there. I'm like a thinly sliced. Oh, so good. So good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love I good, love a deli love a meat. Yeah. Give it to me any day.
All right, then.
All right.
I'm next.
You're next.
How about email?
So this one is from Ken. And Ken writes in, I have a few positive things to say about the Pixel 3 XL. When I bought my Pixel 3 XL from Verizon, I was surprised to get a free stand. I was really bummed I didn't do that. I would not have spent that much for a wireless stand, but now that I have it, I love using it. By the way, that stand costs $80.
Yeah, that's a good freebie.
Negative people see a notch. Positive people see extra screen in the top corners. If you go into the developer settings to disable the notch, all you do is remove the extra screen in the corners. The notch is still there. I had the original Pixel XL before this. I don't miss the aux port. That's the headphone jack. I think the USB-C works better and should have been marketed as a better replacement for the aux port. Maybe they should have had two USB-C ports to help with the transition. Having the new earbuds in the box is a great way of showing how much more the USB-C port can do. That is a great point, Ken. So I would like to add a couple of things to your email. And thank you for emailing us. First of all, I agree. I agree that the USB-C sounds a lot better. Definitely, if you're using Android Auto and you are physically tethering your phone to your car's stereos, which I am, sounds a lot better. Much more defined, as they do say. However, I don't know if you want to do two ports on a phone. I think really Google should just maybe, you know what, if you're going to charge me that much money, you might as well just put an adapter in there that lets me charge it too. Let's do it. Just put it in there.
Wow.
Those are my two cents.
Calling them out.
Let's just do it.
Just do it. Just
seriously.
And you know what? If you got to charge me $20 more, fine. I already spent $80 on the stand.
Truth.
Go ahead.
I do not like that. I do not like that $80 on the stand.
Oh, that's a pricey stand.
I mean, I really like the stand. It looks really good on the nightstand. I love I love that I can just like pop the phone on there and it'll just quickly re-energize while I'm like, you know, changing clothes or like doing my hair or whatever. But it's $80.
Yeah, it's really expensive. Although if you pre-ordered the Pixel 3, you get a $50, I think, gift card or something for the Google store. I haven't received it yet, so I was just going to put that to that.
I found that out after. So now I'm just going to have to figure out what else to spend the $50 on.
Got it. Yeah. Save it for the next Pixel phone. Probably expires in like 30 days. Probably do something like that.
I'll just buy more adapters. I did get a text message from my husband this morning on Allo saying, well, finally happened. I left my adapter at home because I gave him my Pixel 2. So this is a new life for him. New dongle life.
Wow. You only do that a couple of times.
Then you learn.
Yeah, then you learn. let's see here. Annie Rude, who's also Aneroid. I thought it was Aneroid, but maybe it's Annie Rude. Anyways, he's in the chat room. He also sent us an email to say, I just received my Pixel 3, not XL. It has the same screen size as the Pixel 1 XL, 5.5 inches, but the 3's is just 443 pixels per inch. 18:9 or 2:1, while the 1XL is 534 pixels per inch at 16:9. On episode 391, you discussed the comparable price increase of the 3 not XL being $150 more than the 2 not XL. I like thinking of these as not XLs. I would have expected that increase to be somewhat justified if it had an as high quality screen as the 1XL. At least it didn't have a hideous notch. The rest of the phone's hardware is comparable to industry-wide progress over 2 years. And IP68. Regards.
Yeah. Use it in the shower. Catch up on your shows.
Yeah. So,
or your emails.
That's an interesting point, though, right? Like the 3, less pixels per inch than the 1. What do you think about that? Do you feel like we're being ripped off, as Aneroid might be implying? I don't know if he's implying that, but
no, because
I think he was implying it a little bit, a little bit.
We gained an OLED screen, which I did like the visuals of the regular old LCD panel, the IPS LCD on the Pixel 2, but there is just something about the relative scalability of OLED that I appreciate, that my eyes appreciate a lot more.
Yeah.
Because I get more spectrum of brightness and darkness. So I can go to like really dark to really bright as quickly as I need to. Yeah. And so I would take that over pixels per inch, because at a certain PPI, you don't really notice it anyway, especially on a screen that size.
Yeah. That's a very good point. At a certain point, you kind of don't notice much of the difference, but we are specs obsessed people, us Android fanatics.
Well, so
if we know
one
is better than
money.
The other in specs, it's really hard to let go of that.
These things cost a lot of money, and I'm so used to buying computers this way, like looking at the specs and kind of comparing that to the price point. And so it's natural for us to do the same with phones.
Yeah. Aneroid also in chat points out, and the Pixel 3 not XL screen is quite bluish. And yes, I think my eyes have gotten used to that, but yes, there is a blue hue to the display.
It's that OLED.
Yeah, it's that OLED. But it's their OLED. Not all OLEDs are like that.
It's
just
true.
A cool OLED. And you can do some color correction in the settings.
I haven't even tried, but I do feel like I said when I first brought out the Pixel 3 that it felt like an LG phone, and I still believe that, especially with that OLED panel. It just feels very like LG-ish.
And that is the end of our feedback double feature.
Thanks everyone for writing in.
Yeah, I know, right?
And like that's awesome. We love it.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a while. I'm really happy that we did. I think you mentioned it last week. Hey, we haven't done a feedback episode. Let's do that. Great idea. Thank you for mentioning that because it has been a long time. And it's just fun to be able to kind of let you guys have a voice on the show for a change and for us to get a break from the news. Because sometimes the news is like, okay, here we go again. So,
it helps us a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank the sponsor. And then we'll jump into the arena and show you some apps. But before we do that, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Certainly you've heard all the news about security breaches happening here and there. It's very hard to not worry about this stuff. We're constantly questioning where our data is going, what kind of data we're giving in this direction. Is somebody snooping on our data when we're at a coffee shop, making an online purchase, simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. And the reality is we're being tracked everywhere we go. Social media sites, marketing companies, your mobile or internet provider is tracking you. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from or with your information. That's why we've decided to take back our privacy. Here at Twit, we're using ExpressVPN. It has easy-to-use apps. They're super simple apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and or your tablet. Turns on with only a single click. And once it's activated, it secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and also hiding your public IP address to the world. It allows you to safely surf on public Wi-Fi. In fact, highly recommended if you're on public Wi-Fi, make sure and obscure yourself with a VPN. That way you're not being snooped on or having your personal data stolen when you're checking your email from the coffee shop. Just as one example, coffee shops get a bad rap, but it's true. Everybody's on the Wi-Fi at coffee shops and it's a very big target. So VPN is essential. And ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And it costs less than $7 a month. If you don't want to hand over your online history to your internet provider or data resellers, ExpressVPN is the answer. And I have to say, on a personal level, one thing that I really love about ExpressVPN is it has a kill switch, which essentially means if you have this installed, if you have the app installed, like I have it on my Mac laptop at home, and if for whatever reason my internet connectivity breaks or pauses for a second or something happens that interrupts the internet connectivity with the app, then it will automatically and this happens actually, for example, if I close my laptop when I'm done and then later I open it up on some other VPN apps that I've used, it would use data through the normal channel before the VPN would kick in. With ExpressVPN, it will not activate my data channel until ExpressVPN is perfectly and fully logged in. So it's like a kill switch. It says, ExpressVPN is not working right now, therefore we're not letting any data pass because we want all data to be protected. And then once ExpressVPN is running, then it lets everything pass through in a secure way. It's really handy. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package at expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. That's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid, and you'll get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid, and you can learn more by going there and checking it out. We know you're going to love it, and we thank ExpressVPN for their support of this show. All right, and now it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Only one.
Only one
will win this week, as is always the case, as was the case last week.
We're all winners.
Yeah, you all get a prize.
Hey. I'm a millennial. This is what we say. Anyway, go ahead.
twit.to/AAApoll393 was where you went last week, and you voted materialistic 46%, the winner. Materialistic Hacker News, that is a guest win.
That is a guest win.
Yes, absolutely. Parth wins with that one.
and that guest win. Oh wait, did we do the rest of the?
Oh, sorry. So yeah. Three new.
Normally we see the poll here, Mac and Josh. Thank you.
Oh, but we can't see the results.
Mac and Josh,
vote on something.
He can. He's not logged in.
Oh, you're not logged in. Okay. Okay. Well, I will read them to you. Materialistic, 46%. Second place, three dot do.
That was mine.
Yeah. The Ron's at 23%. Third place, Flo's app. I was going to say app pick, but that would not work because it's tick pick. So app pick, tick pick, 21%. And then the fourth place, I'm not that surprised. 21-day meditation experience, 10%.
Nobody wants to chill.
Yeah, nobody. Everybody wants to be all stressed out, and that's fine. You be stressed. I'll be relaxing.
Well, so that guest win puts the nail in Flo's coffin, unfortunately. Flo has officially been eliminated on the year. Flo, I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Luckily for you, I am Romanian, so I have vampire genetics in me, and I will... be revived.
If only we had the prices right. Wah, wah, or whatever, But so Flo is out. She's got 92 points.
Oh.
Jason, you're not too far behind her or ahead of her. You've got 100 points.
Yeah.
I'm our last only hope of beating the guests with 114 points in second, and the guests are in first place with 134 points. Woo. So thank you to Wade County in the chat room for not only providing the standings, but confirming that Florence has been eliminated.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow.
Sorry, Flo.
Yeah.
Why do you have to use words like eliminated? It's just so harsh.
You were eliminated.
I know.
Thank you. Thank you for playing, Flo. You can sit out the rest of the season. Just kidding.
All right.
We need you.
Have a nice,
we need you.
Show,
we need you. So let's see here. Okay, so man, this is totally the year of the guests. I mean, how does anyone win against the guests?
So what do we do? Do we have to send them all gifts?
Every single one of them. I'm not gonna do it. we'll say thank you. We'll record them a video or something.
Okay.
They'll love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I will go ahead and go first since I am the ultimate loser from last week. And my game, I'm a big table tennis or ping pong fan in real life. I like it. I'm okay. I'm not amazing, but I enjoy playing it. And especially when I'm in the zone, you get those spin shots. It's just a lot of fun. Well, I came across a game called I'm Ping Pong King, and its promise is that it's a simple mobile ping pong game. It's free, but for $1.99, you can remove the ads. So basically there's only two things you can do with this. Left and right. So let's see if it picks up where I am.
I'm
down
the
bottom.
Game.
So I'm just going to try and follow.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
Yep.
That's really what ping pong is like in real life.
Oh, man, I lost the point.
Yeah, why did it, dark like why that did it too? Slow down on that one?
Because they put some spin on it.
That was pretty cool. Like I thought that was like a bullet time effect or something.
Oh, like a Matrix style thing?
Yeah, do it again.
And so basically you have like there's basically from what I can tell there are 50 total opponents and you're just trying to get through them all, down to the first ranking player in the world.
Like Mike Tyson's punch out.
Yeah. So here man. Oh, I missed.
Yeah,
too late.
That was a little. That it did a little bullet time again.
Yeah. Because sometimes when you hit the ball, like in real ping pong, sometimes you can hit it and it makes it look like it's floating. And then
do it again. Do it again.
Okay. I'll try and not talk though. Pew, 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 pew. Come on! I gotta win. Ah! Come on! I gotta win. Yes, I won 1 point.
I think they're slowing it down to make you be able to play.
Dang it. So it's a little bit of a Twitch style gameplay, but yeah, it's kind of fun. It's simple. It's not overly complicated, right? It's just left, right, and really easy to pick up and play. And so what if they slow it down? Sometimes I need that run.
No, I think that's cool. I mean, because watching you play there, it was like building momentum and like it's going, and it's going to get to a point where you can't react. So it's giving you a little opportunity to actually be able to stay in the game, which is good design, if you ask me.
Yeah. Keeps it achievable. I'm really curious to know when you get to level one, the top ranked player, how fast this gets. Because definitely the first 10 players that I played through were relatively easy, I felt. Like it was pretty easy to track it. No, I wasn't even watching at that point. But then once I got through the first 10 players, it started to get a lot faster. So the pace is just going to continue picking up and picking up. But I like the art style of it. It's kind of simple and really easy to play, like easy to pick up and just hammer out a bunch of rounds. So it's called I'm Ping Pong King. And then there's a smiley face emoticon. And it's like simplified table tennis. There you go.
Cool.
All right. So I'm going to pause my game because, oh, dang it, I lost a match. Pausing is not working. There we go. Okay. Flo, you're up next. And I have it installed.
Okay. So what we've got here today, folks, is a green browser. Yes. Green like Android. Yes. No, actually, green like eco-friendly. This is an eco-friendly browser called Ecosia Browser. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's free, as a browser should be. And basically, you use this browser and the 100% of the profits that are made from searches go to finance reforestation programs and empower communities around the world. So you download it, and if you use the URL bar to do a search, it's actually doing it through Ecosia Search. And so every time you do a search through them, you are contributing to their fund to plant trees around the world. So this browser is based on Chromium. It's just as fast and secure. It gives you tabs. It gives you a private mode. You've got a history. It does bookmarks the same way. It does downloads the same way. It also does ad blocking with ADB, which a lot of people may know from the internet. It is an extension, a browser extension. And this one has it built in, which is pretty helpful. And it's just another kind of, you know, browser that you can use. It also is private, so none of your searches are saved. None of the websites you visit are tracked. None of the data that is picked up is sold to advertisers, and all searches are SSL encrypted. If you want to use Google as your search engine, you have to go manually to go do that, which might sound a little annoying on an Android device. However, if you also feel like, oh my God, all the searches that I do with my phone are contributing a ton of CO2 emissions, then you can use this browser and feel a little bit better about yourself. So this is Ecosia. And, you know, it's got a pretty good rating in the Play Store. And people are pretty positive about it. I think the only caveat that's sort of mentioned is that it's not always directly tied to the Google search engine, which for some people can be a bummer. But if you just want a web browser for literally browsing the web and you would like to save on emissions and possibly maybe plant a tree, I mean, if anything, this app makes a pretty good cocktail party story. So
nice. Ecosia browser. And I discovered while using Ecosia browser, our new show, All About Ants.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I can tell you guys all about ants. Do you know how many colonies of ants I've had to get rid of in the last year?
Listen, the future is ants, people. Ants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of all
actually,
about ants.
It's probably true.
All about I believe ants, in all ants. About ants.
They're a very resilient insect.
They are. We should all strive to be like ants.
I mean, they are the ultimate workers.
It's true. Ron, you're up
Yes.
next.
So, listen, if you're like me, you're on the go.
Yeah.
You sneak a look at the news or Twitter or Facebook, whatever your browsing source of choice, the latest Google news, like the Google app, the Discover thing with the little starburst, you know. I've been really enjoying that, in fact. But often I'm on the subway. I only have a couple of seconds to see an article. And sure enough, there's an article I want to go back to. I want to remember it. There's only some way you can remember it. I know there's a bunch of different apps that can, you know, we used to use Read Later or whatever it was. And, you know, like you can take a bookmark a URL and save it for later to go check it out, or go to Flipboard or Instapaper and all this other kind of stuff. And I kind of dawned on me when I discovered this app this morning, and it kind of flipped everything. I dropped the app I was going to use in the arena and quickly did this one because this app is called Inbox It. And it just simply allows you to send yourself an email with a link to an article to read later. And as much as we all love our fancy new apps and stuff like that, email is the application that persists. Yeah. Here it is, 2018. I've had email for 25 years, and I'm still using it on a every 15 minutes basis. And I love to, you know, check my email, save it, and all that sort of stuff. And now it's great because I can send myself articles that I find interesting on the web with InboxIt. So when you once you set up InboxIt, what you do is you give it all the permissions you need to give to give it to access you, you know, in your device and send email and things like that. You log in with the account you want it to be synced with, and then what you can do is when you open the app, you just have these settings, and you can from the bottom up, you can choose whether to send HTML emails or not. Whether you want to get a URL preview, which is the neat little like open graph kind of preview like you see on Facebook, with the premium version, which it sees, Jason, you ponied up for, support your devs. It's 99 cents in app purchase. If you do unlock the premium version, you can add Gmail labels if you're using Gmail. So you can append labels when saving if you want to flag a label for article. You can also edit the subject prefix. The default is inboxed. And you can change a custom recipient right now when you set it up and do the free version, you are the recipient, but you can change who that custom recipient is if you wanted to. You can make it, hey, you're cute at cute.com or something like that. But so that's just the app when you set it up.
Okay.
But here's how it works. If you go to a browser or go to the Google News app there, you know, go to any.
I really like this. I would love to share this about ants thing. Can I?
Well, you could do that. So yeah, so just go visit the website.
Okay.
And if you there you go. So all about ants. So if you're on your browser, if you do the hamburger menu and choose share, right? And it comes up in your share. There's a little icon there for inbox it. If you hit that, boom.
Inbox.
It just sent you an email of what it looks like. So
right.
We have a sample email. I forwarded you an email I got earlier from testing it. And here's a nice Captain Marvel Avengers 4 theory on BGR. And this is the email that I got. It pulled the thumbnail from the article. Here's the description and here's the link. So when I have time to go read this, I just tap on the link and I go read it. And there you go.
That's great.
It's very simple. Inbox it.
I like this.
This is great.
I do this in a more of a longer form way often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because there's so many other – like I was using Stash for a while, but you got to go in and Pocket and all these other kind of reader apps and stuff like that. And the problem with me is that they never stick because I don't really – I got to remember to open the app or go to it or whatever. I'm always in my email.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there. Just go to where you are. Just, you know. So now, of course, they can't – they're not stopping at just articles. You can also use the share function to send yourself reminders, which is nice. You can do like little to-do lists and things like that if you want to. If you long tap, Jason, can you go to your home screen?
Let's see here. Home screen. Yep.
All right. And if you long tap on the inbox it, the shortcut there is a new reminder.
Oh.
And you can send yourself a little reminder. So not only does it send you articles you want to read, but it can also email you reminders, which is super handy. So
very nice.
There you go. Inbox it. Free in the Google Play Store and 99 cents within app purchase to unlock all the fun goodies. Support your devs.
Boom. All right. It's time to place your vote. The link is a little different. I had to change it. Unfortunately, our internal URL shortener tool was not working for me. So bit.ly/AAApoll394, bit.ly/AAApoll394. Place your vote for your favorite app. Is it I'm Ping Pong King, Ecosia Browser, or InboxIt?
What is Mac and Josh going to vote for?
Well, nothing. I don't know why doesn't let me vote. I'm signed in as me. I don't get it. But,
because you made an Apple joke at the beginning of the show.
Oh, it knows. It knows. Google Plus knows.
Because I voted for the iPhone.
Yep.
Yeah.
It knows.
I would go with Ping Pong King.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sad I didn't get your vote. Your actual
I was
going to
say, it's a good choice, but bummer. But
it does me no good.
Does you no good.
Cousin Uja says, I'm terrible at this ping pong game. It's working. It's working. All right. bit.ly/AAApoll394 and place your vote. And that's it. We have reached the end of this wonderful podcast, mostly made of stuff that you wrote to us. So thank you for doing that. We really
that was awesome.
Appreciate it.
Love our community. You guys are the best.
Absolutely.
The best.
best community, best chat room, best people maintaining like the blog, the wikis and all that kind of stuff. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
The best.
We love you. We love you. Ron, I love you.
Oh, Jason, I love you too.
What's going on?
So much going on. All right, actually, I have a call to action. I have a request of the All About Android community.
Okay.
For the past couple of weeks, you heard me talking about my new podcast.
Yes.
Me and Carrie do it. It's called FinalePodcast.com. Well, it's called Finale or Finale Podcast. And you can find it at FinalePodcast.com. Mac and Josh, there's a link in the doc if you want to show people. Our latest episode is about The Office, the U.S. Show. Fun conversation, fun time. The whole premise of the podcast is we watch the season finale of a TV show that Carrie has never watched a single episode of, and I've watched every episode of, and then we discuss. That's the concept. Jason Flo, please gut check me. That's not a difficult concept, right?
Yes.
I mean,
It's not. No, it's not pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. Makes sense
to me. So we only have 3 reviews on iTunes. And all 3 reviews are bad reviews, basically saying, what's the point of this show if one of the people hasn't ever even watched the TV show? They just don't get it. So I tweeted this earlier today. And listen, I know we're all on Android and I know we're all on Pocket Casts or Google Podcasts or whatever, but I'm pretty sure a lot of you out there are on Macs and might and probably have an iTunes account. Do me a favor. If you listen to the podcast and you like it, just rate it and leave a review. And in the review, show that you get it. That's all I'm asking. If a couple of people would do that, that would make my day. I just want to balance out the negativity because we have several positive ratings in iTunes, but those people didn't leave reviews because nobody released a positive review. But so do me a favor. If you do that, I'd really appreciate it. And listen to the podcast. It's fun. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RonXO. There you go.
Do it. Thank you, Ron. What a bummer. What a bummer. They just didn't get it, obviously. Flo.
It's a simple concept. Yeah, it's not hard.
It seems that way. Do you describe, you know, make sure at the top of the show, spend 5 minutes describing it.
We do. My favorite quote from the latest review was they said, please stop and figure out your goals. It's just like the dripping.
Oh, man.
Oh, the dripping attitude of podcast listeners.
Well, Fopon chat in the chat doesn't like All About Android because we don't talk about iOS. So
there you go. Yeah, see?
There you go.
That's my big complaint, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we know.
I mean, All About Android is a bad podcast because we don't talk about iOS. So there you go. Oh, God.
Flo, what about you?
I am still working on updating my website. We've got nothing super new up there yet. I do have one little blog post, but I'm actually working on it tonight. So you should start seeing more pictures and things, hopefully by tomorrow.
Nice.
So just keep checking my website. And also, I would also like to put a call to action that, yes, I am reading all of the emails that you send me through the contact form at my website. So if you have any questions, either you need tech help or maybe you need some buying help for the holidays, there's a contact form. Just email me.
There it
is.
I'll probably turn it
into a story or write an article at florenceion.com. Everyone wins.
Everyone wins. You win. And you win. And you win. Thank you, Flo.
That's florenceion.com.
Easy to remember.
Yes.
The Mac and Josh. What about you?
First of all, feel free to call me the. That's fine.
Mr. The.
More informal.
Okay, T. Yep.
Mr. Listen, the Mac and Josh, why don't you go on iTunes and leave a positive review for my podcast?
I will. Yeah. I will do that.
You of all people.
I felt like it was directed at me when you said that. So
it was a little targeted. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can find me on Instagram, the Mac and Josh.
Okay.
That's a good place. These days, anyway. And I should really do an about.me thing that Ron has. That's pretty cool.
I haven't touched that thing in years, so.
But it would be useful, I think.
It's still accurate.
It's still accurate. I think it's still accurate.
It might. About.me might not even be a site anymore.
No, it is. I think it is. Didn't it get bought and then they sold? I don't know. Then they bought it back or something. Oh, yeah, there I am. It says I live in San Francisco.
So. Oh, good.
Yeah.
So it's totally updated. All right, good.
Do you guys want to know a quick story real quick?
Yes.
I have the MacandJosh.com as a domain, and I lost the domain earlier this year because I forgot my payment information wasn't updated or something. I lost it. I waited for it to go back out into the open, and I got it back again.
Oh, really?
I feel like that was just like, how in the world? But I lucked out, and I got it back.
Never let it go again. Now you know what you've lost.
Auto renew is
I know my payment information like lapsed or something. I do have auto renew.
Do it through PayPal. That's why you're everything through PayPal.
All right, lesson learned.
Oh, interesting. Now it says themacandjosh.com is a totally awesome idea still being worked on.
I know, because now I have to redo it.
Yeah.
Thanks to Hover.
Need to work on that.
I know what you're doing this weekend.
Get to work, the Mac and Josh. Get to work, the.
All right. Yeah, T.
Yeah. You can find me all across the Twit Network doing shows. You know, that's what I do here. JasonHowell.net, YellowGoldMusic.com if you want the music stuff that I do sometimes. Haven't done some in a while, but that's okay. It's there waiting for you. Best ofs. I actually have to pick moments for the best of within like the next week or two. Like we're going
exciting.
Early this year to save our editors the last minute crunch. So now's the time. Please save me. Help me. That's an amazing picture. Twit.tv/best of is where you can go to submit some moments from your favorite shows on the Twit Network. Of course, All About Android would qualify as your absolute favorite show, but we understand that you also watch other shows too. So we can all benefit from your recommendation. So go there, twit.tv/best of. Let us know of some moments that you liked. And the more information you give us, the easier it is for us to actually find it. That's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails, AAA@twit.tv. And who knows, maybe we'll do another feedback episode sometime soon. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have the Arena apps list with all of the apps we've ever shown in the Arena, updated by fans of this show. We really appreciate it. twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at our home on the web, twit.tv/AAA. That's where everything is, all the way back to episode one. You can find everything there. And then you can watch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. And that is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.